Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Hawks Talk Podcast, brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Mike Simon, a couple Stanley Cup champions from the 2010 campaign, Adam Burrish, and from the 2013 season, Jamal Mayers. Boys, how are you?
Doing well.
Awesome, PB.
You? You know, I'll tell you what. To start this season with 3-4 nights, the first two on the road, you finish up with an explosive, high-powered offense in the Toronto Maple Leafs on the back end of the back-to-backs. It didn't look like it was going to start off real promising. And lo and behold, three come-from-behind performances in the third period, 5 out of 6 possible points. I think this is a fantastic start for this team.
It is. And you talk about what they've shown so far, and they hadn't shown it last year, in my opinion, is resilience and finding a way and the ability to dig down deep. These are the lessons, as you know, Burr, that you learn usually in the middle of the season that you can lean on as you're heading into the playoffs as a group. You can remember back when we had to push through and we found a way to get it done. Well, that's what's happening in the first three games. They're finding ways to get points and salvage games. And these are moments, learning moments for these young guys on this team and the older guys that they can lean back on as they go along in this season. But been very encouraged by the amount of goals they're scoring, the way that they're competing, the resilience that they've shown as a group. It's really exciting. And anytime you challenge great players, they usually respond, and you're seeing that from this group.
Yeah, and you talk about leaning on your teammates and young guys learning the way. Well, what a pretty cool way to learn in your first year in the NHL or being new to the Blackhawks when you're trailing in three games and all of a sudden you just look back down the bench and say, hey, Kaner, jump over and go tie this thing up for us. Or, hey, Taser, jump over here and go win this thing for us. It's like what Yoki Haru you probably saw growing up, watching these two guys play and idolizing him. Now he's like, holy man, these guys really do this in real life, too. We just tap them on the shoulder, they go out there, and they win a game for us. Pretty incredible. But let's be honest here, guys, too. If you would have said, you know, a month ago that the Blackhawks, they're going to trail in the third period, their first three games of the year, and they're going to end up with 5 or 6 points still, BS, I would have said. I think anybody that watches hockey or knows hockey or has ever watched a game, if you asked them that question, not a chance in hell anybody would have said they would come out with 5 out of 6 points, and they have. To what you said, Jammer, is they're trying to prove people wrong this year, and they've come out with a chip on their shoulder. And when you've got guys like Kane and Taves doing what they're doing, that sends a message to everybody in your locker room, and it sends a message to all the reporters. It sends a message to the rest of the NHL that we're not going anywhere. We're still that Blackhawks team that you think you are, and you better buckle up if you want to come in here and try and beat us.
And it's been Taves and Kane that have been leading the way. Jonathan has 5 goals. Kane has 4. They have 9 of the team's 15 goals.
Holy man.
So as awesome as that is, and we all love that you have your best players leading by example, it's probably not sustainable.
Yeah.
Okay, so you need to find some scoring. Any concerns that it has been the Kane and Taves show and it's been the 9 goals of the 15 that have come from them, or is that just – 3 games out of 82.
Yeah, it's not enough of a sample size for me to make it a determination, but I think it's encouraging. You need these guys starting on time. I'd much rather have them start on fire and wonder when the other guys are going to pick it up versus the other way around when they can't find their game, because then there'd be some real concern and doubt, not only in their locker room, but throughout the city. So it's extremely encouraging. I'm excited for this group. And, they're only going to go as far as those two guys take them. And these young guys are going to have to progress quickly. But there's a lot of bright signs as well on this team.
And let's be honest with this, too, is that these guys heard what was being said about them all summer. They felt it. They had to answer questions. for the entire summer leading into the season. They're still answering the questions now about, are you guys going to be able to get back to that level you've been on? That wears you down. And if you have a slow start and you go 5, 6, 7 games without scoring, now, human nature, you're going to doubt yourself a little bit. I don't care if you're the best player in the world or you're a fourth line player. When you don't play up to your ability, you start questioning yourself. And after answering those questions for the last 6 months, if they wouldn't have started like this, some doubt would have creeped into their mind. I don't care what anybody tells you, that's just the truth. They've come out and they've shut everybody up. They've come out and absolutely dominated every single game they've played in. And Jammer, like we talked about in our post-game show with PB, you get confidence early on in the season. You train all summer. You don't get to show off. You think you put all the time in. You think you do everything right. And if you go out and you kind of lay an egg early on, you're like, well, what the heck? I thought I trained hard. I thought I was ready to go. Well, now all that work that, you know, everybody's been talking about Taves, the work that he put in this summer, heck, it's certainly paid off. And all the work Kane always does, it's paying off big time for those guys. And that confidence is going to trickle down to the rest of the team.
Yeah, I want to build on what we've seen from Jonathan Taves. He said at the convention, you know, they were humbled. They were embarrassed what happened last year. They weren't going to rest on what they have done in the past, those three cups. They're starting over. And one thing is to say it, another thing is to do it. He's faster. He made some moves tonight against Toronto that we haven't seen in a couple years. He's been hard on the puck. He's been going to the front of the net. Jammer, as you break down what you've seen from Taves, what has been the big difference from the captain that you've seen the first three games and that you probably haven't seen in the last year plus?
Well, I think everything for me starts with mindset, and his mindset is different. Clearly, he's in a different mindset, and he's willing, ready, and wants to prove people wrong and kind of, you know, stick it to people and stick it to people who are doubting him from around the league. Let's not forget, this guy was named one of the 100 best players to ever play this game. Yeah. He has a ton of pride. And the other thing is, he's quicker. Now, there's a difference between speed and quickness. Speed to me is running a 100 meter dash or skating the length of the ice. Quickness to me is, can I beat you from the corner to the front of the net? Can I get to pucks quicker, then use the strength that he has? Maybe he's not as strong as he used to be, but he's recognized that you don't need that strength anymore. And maybe he lost 10% of his strength, but he's lighter, he's quicker, he's faster. And then he comes out, has a great training camp. He's feeling good about his game. He's gotten on the ice a lot more doing skill stuff. He talked about that at the red carpet event, that these younger guys, they're out there working on their skill. It's about learning from them and picking up some of the things that they're doing today, because it's not 10 years ago. He's progressed. He looks fantastic. He just has to keep going.
Yeah, don't tell superstar players they can't do something, because as long as they're motivated guys, and you know, we all know Jonathan Taves is a proud, motivated guy, they're going to shove it up your behind if you tell them that too many times. And that's what Taves has been told for the last 6 months, is your best past you. I think he's answered that question early on right now, because he's certainly played motivated. He certainly looks quicker. And I think all three of us, maybe we just got to start eating more salads and vegetables like he's been doing now on this vegan thing. Maybe I eat too much steak. That's why I sucked at hockey. But whatever he did this summer, it certainly worked. And I know he put a lot of time in with Paulie Goodman, the Blackhawks strength coach too. But, God, he looks motivated. He looks determined. He looks a little bit ticked off that he was tired of having to answer these questions. And he's that leader that we all know he is, and why he deserves to be, and why he is one of the greatest 100 players to ever play hockey.
And as you guys know, because I know you're faithful listeners of the Hawks Talk podcast, even when you're not on it,
yep,
we did podcasts all summer long. And so we'd end up doing those lists. The NHL.com would come out with a list, you know, top 25 centers, top 50 forwards, and da-da. And you would see, like, Jonathan not on any of those lists, and you're thinking to yourself, oh, my God, you know, one of the top 100 players in the world, for sure, you know, in NHL history, for sure going to go to the Hall of Fame, to not be on these current lists, that would bother somebody. And somebody that you know is, I want to say he's meticulous, he, you know, he's prideful, that could not have sat well with him.
Oh, no. And it's okay to say it. A little bit of ego there.
Sure.
So maybe his ego was bruised. But you never want to count somebody out like that. And I think people that did don't know him very well.
Yep.
And it's usually people, no offense, that didn't play the game or making these determinations. Because if you sit in that room with him and you battle with him, you knew he was going to figure it out. Yeah, he's pretty stubborn, Maybe he didn't want to change certain things in his training because he's had success doing it a certain way for 10 years. But I think he finally realized he had to change some things. And he's quicker. There's no question about it. And he looks a little bit leaner to me. I think he's got that quickness. He's got that bite back in his game, that pissed off attitude that you need to have when you're playing the game at a high level. And he's been looking great.
Yeah, and I will tell you guys this with certainty, that players that tell you they never read the news or they've got no idea, BS, you're lying. These guys know what's going on. You hear it. Even if you turn your social media off and you don't scan the internet, somebody's talking to you, something pops up on the TV when you watch it. These guys know what's being said about them. They know what's being written about them. All you got to do is wake up in the morning and turn the TV on in Canada and something pops up about the Blackhawks or about Jonathan Toews or about Patrick Kane. These guys know, every player knows what's being said and what's being written. And it bothered Toews, and he's proven a lot of people wrong.
One thing he also said he wanted to have more of this year was fun. Yep. And look, we talked about it on the postgame show Sunday night. If you want to see fun, that what we saw between the Leafs and the Hawks was 2.5 hours of fun. It was back and forth. It was a track meet. It was, at the end, a little WWE with Matthews and Kane going at it. It had swag. It had excellent shots. It had speed. The NHL, if they want to expand their fan base, that's what you need to strive for on more nights than not. And we had a front row seat to it Sunday night. It was one of the most enjoyable regular season games I have seen, and I can't remember when.
It's a built-in promo. Just show Matthews going like that and then show Kaner responding with his. I mean, that makes you want to watch sports. It doesn't matter if you're even a hockey fan. And that's what the most amazing thing to me, too, PB, is that got games like that pull you out of your seat and make you want to watch, even if you aren't a hockey fan. If you watch that game, you are now.
And I've said this for years. Patrick Kane, for me, is the most entertaining player in hockey by far. People could say, what about Connor McDavid? He skates so fast up and down the ice. He does. He's incredible. Not a faster player to ever play hockey. But if I'm being honest, he doesn't have a personality that sells anything for me. He doesn't make me laugh. He doesn't make me cry. He doesn't make me feel anything other than, oh, my God, that guy's fast. And he's an incredible hockey player. Patrick Kane sells the game with his celebrations. I want to be lifted out of my seats. I want to see somebody go crazy when they score an awesome goal. If Austin Matthews does some celebration and taunting your fans at your building, I want someone to come back and score and mock him for that celebration. Not in my house, baby. Not tonight. And that's what Patrick Kane did. That sells hockey. And that's why, and Jammer, you know this. If you ask players around the league, Kaner's one of their most favorite players to watch and to play against. He's got a personality that players around the league love. The tough part is you've got to be a star and you've got to back it up. Well, Patrick Kane can back it up so he can get away with those celebrations. Players love it. Players think it's cool. Him and Austin Matthews are buddies too, by the way, so I'm sure they're laughing about that now. That was pure entertainment. The hockey needs more personalities like that. Call P.K. Subban what you want. Guys don't like him. He's awesome for the game of hockey because he shows personality. But for me, there's nobody better worth the price of admission than Patrick Kane.
Let's talk a little bit about the defense. And you brought up a great point, Jammer, during our broadcast on Sunday night. The move that Babcock made to challenge the Blackhawks defenders with the speed of Toronto. And we saw it on that Matthews play, the hoister. He sends it up 150 feet or so up ice, and you saw Kasperi Kapanen track it down and then end up with the goal. It's something that I think the foot speed of the D, at least some of them, is a little cause for concern.
It is, and I think that it was good recognition by Babcock, quite frankly, after the Blackhawks' second goal, DeBrincat's goal. He realized that there was a turnover because they didn't get the puck out, and I can assure you that's when they made the adjustment after that goal. And you notice that they started just hoisting pucks into the neutral zone, putting teams into foot races. It really, what it does, Pat, when you do that, it pushes the defense back, and you have the two wingers leave. You put the onus on the D to get the puck at least out into the neutral zone. Now there ends up being more space behind them in the neutral zone to operate, but they also have to respect the defense, that is, have to respect your speed, because if you mishandle the puck, they could easily have a scoring chance or an opportunity. So a smart move by them. It really backed off the pressure that the Blackhawks were able to give, and it put them into a bunch of their speed came to fruition for the Leafs, and I think the game turned around.
And Joel Quenneville talked about it in his post-game press conference. If anybody's looked at the scores around the NHL so far this season, the numbers are incredible. It's just shootouts back and forth, high-scoring games. The Capitals come out of the season after a short summer and score 7-0 against Boston, the opening game of the NHL season. You get a shootout tonight with the Blackhawks. Every game the Blackhawks have been so far has been a shootout. And he talked about guys are so much faster now. It's the fastest the game has ever been. So it's about creating foot races now. And he talked about Toronto hoisting pucks out of the zone and just creating foot races all over the ice. I think you're going to see more teams start doing that now. It's something I know Quenneville has had teams do. And you know Jammer, I'm sure, when you were playing too. I know for me, he would encourage defensemen, if you got nothing, just hoist it, because you never know, it could take a bad bounce. Forwards are skating forwards. Defensemen have to back up. Then it's an uncomfortable situation. I think the game now is about foot races and creating little foot races wherever you can all over the ice to get those odd man chances. These guys are so fast and skilled now. It's a smart play.
I will say this, Bert. Coaches usually ruin it, Pat. And what they'll do is they'll just back off the D.
Yeah.
And I'd hate that to happen, because it's fun to watch these games, but they're always thinking ahead of the players, and they see a trend. They're back there in the room watching video and making adjustments and saying, okay, maybe our gap can't be as tight. Maybe we need to back off a little bit. I hope that doesn't happen, because watching these games and watching all these turnovers and chances, that's what the game should be. It's fun. And if everyone's doing it, hopefully the coaches don't ruin it and overcoach and fix all these defensive problems.
I don't care about goalies or coaches. I want to be entertained.
Exactly.
And that's what we got tonight. So coaches and goalies, we don't care. We want to get out of our seats, and that's what we got.
All right. One thing I would like to see coached up, and I think I speak on behalf of all three of us, is the power play.
Yep.
Okay. 28th ranked last year, and 0-10 to start. They had the four-minute power play Sunday when they're trailing Toronto, and an opportunity to get the equalizer. They didn't get a shot on goal. They lost momentum, as we heard Joel Quenneville say. I know they've tried the 1-3-1. I still think that's probably the way to go. They had issues just setting up. They had issues with entries. Once they even get it into the offensive zone and they start working the puck around, it's not crisp. They look disjointed. I think the personnel is there, I think. But from what you've seen, is this fixable? It's got to get better, right?
It does. And it's paramount for them to make the playoffs. And, Burr, I know in the past you've mentioned Scotty Bowman's rule that the power play and the penalty kill percentage have to be over 100 for you to have a successful season and a successful team. And the fact is that they've got to get this power play together. And to me, it's about one word. It's predictability. There's no predictability on their power play. There has to be a guarantee way to enter. Maybe you have two or three maximum. Too many times they try to go down the ice, it gets thrown back 200 feet. And to me, when I'm watching it, now everybody's kind of like ad-libbing and kind of doing their own thing. You can't have that. Everybody has to be on the same page, run the same routes, and it has to be set in stone. And the same thing happens when you actually win the faceoff to start a power play. To me, you've got to get that puck to the net within the first 5 seconds. And yes, you still want creativity. Yes, you still want to run your routes. I would give them three or four things that they should be able to do to try in the beginning, and then let them be creative. But to me, you have to have that predictability about your power play.
Yeah, I think it's their details. It's their details and how they come up the ice. And this is something that those five guys and the power play coach, they need to get together, and they need to have a simple and organized plan, and everybody has to have the details down, because right now it does seem a bit disorganized. They come up with this pushback thing, which is fine, but then when that doesn't go well and you get a puck in the neutral zone, now what do you do? And they don't seem to have a plan for that, where now it's just you got three or four guys standing on the blue line and Kane coming up 100 miles an hour. And if there's one guy in the league that can dangle through, it's him, but not every time, and not that the percentages that you need to have to successfully get into your zone. So this needs to get organized, and this is the one area in hockey where it's like football, where you can have plays or you can have setup situations that the coaches can put you in. And so that needs to be coached up. That needs to be organized. And some of that the players need to have communication with the coaching staff. But this is the one time in hockey, a faceoff play and power play, where guys have certain places that they have to be and they're told to be in. And if it doesn't work, It's either because they're not being told to go in the right spots or they're just not doing it. I think these guys are doing what they're told. I don't think they're completely going rogue, but there's just some disconnect there. There's some disorganization that needs to get cleaned up because PB, like we said at the start of the season, that 4 or 5% better on the power play gets you into the playoffs. That's
absolutely
5, 6, 7 more wins from going from 15 to 20% on the power play wins you 7 or 8 more games.
It would have locked up all three of these games. St. Louis scores 2 power play goals on Saturday night. Toronto had 1 goal out of 2 power play opportunities on Sunday night. They don't get those. They don't get it to overtime. So it's, you know, it's something that needs to be fixed, and hopefully it's something that we will eventually see. All right, of the things we've seen so far in the first three games, Cam Ward doing, I think, a pretty nice job battling in there, holding down the fort as the number one as we wait for Corey Crawford. The resiliency of the team coming back, Taves getting off to this amazing start, Kane doing the same. The thing I'm most impressed with, Henry Okihariu. I was concerned. Looking at that, at those 3D pairings, I was like, I didn't have a great feeling about all six, but I really had a big question about the 19-year-old. He's got 5 assists. He looks comfortable out there. He's making good plays. It, you know, defensively is the area he probably needs the most work in. So far, so good. And I know Joel, who's a tough critic, former D-man, he's been impressed. How impressed have you guys been?
Unbelievably impressed. I think this kid is just going to get better, which is scary, but he's got a great stick defensively. He's got great anticipation. He can skate himself out of trouble. He shows a good stick. He learned from his mistakes. I watched in tonight's game, or in the game against the Toronto Maple Leafs, one of the early times a defenseman wristed the puck to the net and he let it get to the front of the net, created a golden scoring chance. The next time an opportunity had, he got out in front. He fronted those wristers. That's what you're supposed to do as a defenseman. So he's learning from some little mistakes. He's only going to get better defensively, but his ceiling, as far as his offensive instincts, I think he shoots the puck much harder than I ever thought he could. I think he would be fantastic on the power play. He can pass the puck like no one's business. He kind of reminds me of a Zubov. I don't remember Zubov from the Dallas Stars.
He's
and the way that he
smoked cigarettes handled, between periods.
Oh, he handles that puck with the right hand shot. So, I think the sky's the limit for this kid. He's been unbelievably such a great surprise for me, and I think Duncan Keith's play will go higher because now he trusts his partner.
I'm not lying either. Zubov used to smoke cigarettes in the shower between periods. Dallas Stars guy. Trust me, I'm not lying. But
that's great.
No, I agree. I'm not gonna. Let's not get ahead of ourselves here either with Okihariu, but Joel Quenneville has certainly loved him. After game one, he absolutely gushed about him. And then after game two, you could see Joel, when they asked him about Okihariu, he kind of held it back. They said, has he just been just as good as you think he's been? And Joel just said, I will agree with you on that one, and gave a big smile. He didn't want to get too excited, but certainly when Joel gives those answers and he gives you that big smile, he's certainly been big time impressed with him also. And we did a show in our last show, PB, we did the over-under Vegas predictions on guys' points and team points total, and Okihariu was at 17.5, and we all said we thought he would get over. I thought he'd get 20 points this year. Jammer, you said he'll be over 17.5 by Christmas. I'm not going to sit here and lie and say I believe you, but I think getting over 17.5 is a no-brainer right now, so I do agree with you that he's going to get there a lot faster than people think. He's a smart player, but nowadays, if you want to play in the NHL as a defenseman, you have to skate. There's no, you don't have room for a rugged, kind of tough defenseman that leans on guys, chips it off the glass and out. There's not a lineup spot for you. You got to skate, and you can skate yourself out of difficult situations, and that's what he's done so far this year. So if you can skate your way out of trouble, you can play in this league, and he can do it.
All right, it's bold prediction time. Something you've seen maybe from the first three games, and you're going to forecast out. Some sort of prediction that you will see. Do you guys have one, or you want me to go first?
Lead us.
Okay. Well, I think I'm kind of stealing. So I think I might be borrowing Jammers because I think this came up in the post-game show.
Yep.
Or maybe it was Steve. But on the topic of Okihariu, I think we're going to see him on the top power play unit. I just think his skill set, his quick release, his ability to get the puck on the net, I think is something that that unit needs, and I think he's going to get some looks there, and hopefully he'll make a difference there.
Do you think that he ends up, by the end of the season, more ice time than Duncan Keith?
Wow, that's a good question. Because Dunks is out there with some PKs.
Yep.
Situation. So
yep. I'm going to say no on that one.
They're going to. I'm going to say those will balance each other out. So yeah, I'll probably.
No.
I mean, but you know, that's. I wouldn't have thought he would have had five assists through three games either.
Right.
So that's a really good question. That'll be something that it'll be interesting to monitor. But for right now, my bold prediction is that that he'll be in the top power play unit. In the next
my
week or so.
Bold prediction is going to be: I think Chris Kunitz is going to end up playing 10 to 12 games on Patrick Kane's line. And I think that'll keep Sauter honest. That'll keep him pushing and motivated when he gets demoted for those few games. And I think it's going to be necessary to elevate and make him reach that next level. And I think he's capable and has in the past been able to play with skilled players.
Yeah, right before you said it, I'm not piggybacking on you here, I promise. But I was going to say the bold prediction I would have made was that at some point we're going to see for an extended period of time, I think we may see Saad play bottom 6 minutes. And Quinville had talked about it a little bit in preseason. It adds a little bit of balance to your lineup, and it may motivate him a little bit. But I would say at some point for a guy that came here to play with Jonathan Toews, just to add some more balance. Kane talked about it after the game, and I agree with him that there are two lines. You need to have two good lines in each other. Two good lines are cranking right now, and people are going to say, well, what about later? This can't keep up. You can't just have two lines scoring. Well, now you can. In the NHL now, you have to have two lines that just carry the mail. They score all your majority of your points. Nobody in the NHL that doesn't play power play scores 20 goals anymore. It doesn't happen. You have to play in the power play to score 20. So your top two lines have to carry the mail. The balanced scoring, there's no such thing. Look at the game tonight. You know, it was Matthews with two, Tavares with two, Kane with two, Toews with one. That's your scoring. That's where it comes from now. So the balance, you don't need it. Those bottom six lines, they just can't get scored on, and they've got to be responsible defensively. And so maybe you move Saad down there to the bottom six. You add a little more veteran presence, some responsibility on that back end. So if that was a prediction, I guess that's what I'd make it. The way it's going now, too, it'd be tough to say Toews doesn't score 30 goals right now, too.
Will he be an all-star? You think he'll be an all-star?
I think he will.
All right. That'd be a big bounce back for him.
I think he'll be an all-star.
Yeah, I agree. I think Toews is an all-star this year.
Excellent. Good job, boys. It was a long day at the United Center, but it's been a fun first three games of the season, and maybe this team's going to surprise us because I don't think any of us really saw this start happen. We didn't see it coming, and maybe, you know, that's the best thing about sports. It's great, greatest reality show going. You never really know.
Any
what you're
games
get.
Coming up where we can wear our tuxedos again?
I hope so. As long as you have man crushes, we got opportunities for you to come with your tuxedo.
We were looking good, though. Come
you
on.
Got, fantastic. Fantastic. You guys, you know,
we dialed
it
up.
Best red carpet correspondents in the business.
Yep.
And it's a small business because probably no other NHL teams do this. But, you know, that's
going to be anyways, first at something.
Great stuff, boys. Look forward to our next game together. Thursday night, the Hawks are in Minnesota. We will have Blackhawks pregame live for you, NBC Sports Chicago, beginning at 6:30. For Jammer, for Adam, I am Pat Boyle. Thanks for listening to the Hawks Talk Podcast. We'll catch you next time.